We're joined now by Rajiv DeMello. He is Global Macro Portfolio Manager at GAMA Asset Management. And Rajiv, we were listening to former President Trump there launching his re-election campaign for 2024. One of the things he mentioned was inflation and how that surged since he left office. But let's have some context here. It surged everywhere as countries exited COVID. But how's the inflation picture look in the US by 2024? I mean, you could argue we're turning the corner right now.
Inflation indeed is been a huge issue in the midterm campaign as well. And people are worried about the higher inflation rates. But as you mentioned, I mean, we are seeing some signs of inflation topping out. I mean, we got the CPI number last week, the PPI, which is the producer price index yesterday. And both of them are showing that we're seeing some moderation in inflation. So indeed, going forward, we could see inflation come off by 2024. It's already moderating, and other advanced signs of inflation are also showing signs of moderation, which is positive. A lot of the areas which were abnormally, which had abnormal inflation due to the exit of COVID lockdowns and a normalization of the economy, the boost in demand for goods, that's all normalizing somewhat and coming down. So that's a positive for a more moderating rate of inflation. Now, the speed of it is what's worrying the Fed.
So maybe it's not just the speed, but the fact that the Fed has to be convinced that it's put the genie back in the bottle, so to speak. Rajiv, is there the risk then that even though we begin to see significant moderation, that the Fed holds a very hard line and keeps policy tight for quite some time?
The Fed is trying to convince us that that's what they're going to do, even though they are most likely to, you know, step back to 50 basis point hike in December, and then never go back to the 75 basis points in next year, but either 50 or 25. The Fed still wants to tell us that it is on course to hike rates. It wants to keep that success it's achieved in keeping inflation expectations very well managed, and it's done that remarkably well through its very hawkish tone and actions as well, considering 4 times 75 basis points is really very, very high. So the Fed wants to keep that, and also in the latest communication wants to tell us, or is telling us, that it will not cut rates quickly. It'll keep a high plateau in interest rates.
We have seen a lot of volatility in markets trying to guess what the Fed is doing next and when it's going to happen. Do you have a sense that maybe markets are getting a little bit too far out in front of this eventual pivot?
I think that the markets are breathing a sigh of relief. After all, in the distribution of probabilities, at some stage about a month ago, there was the likelihood that the Fed's terminal rate could be much higher than what's being priced, 5.5, perhaps 6 even, in some risk cases. And I think those tail risks are coming down now. So on the upside, expectations of very high terminal rates are coming down. And on the downside, I think that there is more of a belief that we could get a soft landing. And so, you know, that means that, you know, we would see a huge sell-off in financial assets, which would force the Fed to do emergency cuts. So I think that distribution is coming down. And if we look implied volatilities in the option markets, that seems to confirm that, because they're all coming off quite well, which is healthy for the economy and for markets.
So inflation may be trending down. We've established that. We also know that, at least in terms of the rhetoric the Fed is using, policymakers are intent in making sure that they've really accomplished their goal in getting it under control. But it's not just the Fed. I would be remiss if we didn't talk about the Bank of Korea, Rajiv. I guess we're about a week and a half from a policy meeting in Seoul. We know the situation in South Korea is such that they are also, or it is also, dealing with significant inflationary pressures.
Absolutely. I mean, inflation is a global problem, and Korea is facing higher inflation as well. The Bank of Korea is somewhat more dovish, though, than central banks in Latin America or the U.S., for many domestic reasons as well. But inflation has not only gone up for domestic reasons, but the won's been weak until most recently. And that's also not been very good for Korea. So the Bank of Korea will hike rates. We expect a 25 basis points hike, which is kind of moderate still. But they are also worried about the financial situation tightening too much. They have a lot of mortgages, which are very sensitive to higher rates. And political turmoil is building in Korea, and that's negative for the economy.
Yeah, we've seen a few central banks around the world now either slowing or considering slowing the pace of rate increases. And I'm just wondering, connected to this, I want to get to the Bloomberg question of the day. What are the implications for the US dollar? How far do you see the greenback falling by the year, end of the year?
Well, since the beginning of the month, we've seen the dollar actually decline quite a bit. And that was after, of course, a significant ramp up. But broad dollar measures such as the dollar index are down, and probably we have seen the peak in the dollar, and the dollar can gradually decline as the Fed doesn't go for these very sharp increases in rates, sort of moderates them. Other countries recover, growth doesn't collapse as much as expected. So in a sort of Goldilocks scenario, you don't have a global growth collapse. So other currencies can recover, and we've seen initially a recovery in Latin America, and we've seen that propagate to Asia as well, where Asian currencies have done much better over the last couple of weeks.
Rajiv, before we let you go, I'm sorry there. Before we let you go, I'd like to get your take on China. I mean, we had the ECO data yesterday for the month of October. Industrial output was up a bit, below market forecast, but that retail sales figure with a decline in of about a half of 1%, the first drop we've seen since May. Does this necessarily mean now that the government has no choice but to add to some of the measures that it's already undertaken to try to prop up things like the property market, let's say, or to make some more modifications to its COVID policy because it's really got to kind of support the economy?
I think it has signaled that direction. Every couple of days, we get new announcements about different measures, either on the zero COVID front, some kind of relaxation, the property measures as well. I would expect more economic measures as well because of this data being weak. And they see that what's happening in China is a weakening, and they are really determined now to redress that, something that we hadn't seen for the last many months or quarters. Now they're doing something.
Go ahead, Paul. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Not at all. I was just wondering which sectors that you see benefiting most from what's going on in China. And again, has the market getting too out in front of this as well? We've seen some big rises in property and tech over the past couple of days.
Yes, we have. I mean, Hong Kong has really soared, but then it really went down to very, very low levels. And a bunch of information on the came in, which was more positive. Even the Biden-Xi meeting in Bali was a positive. All those measures were positive as well. But I would prefer the domestic side, which moved up a bit less, but had also fallen less. I think the domestic economy is where the focus of policy will be. And I expect, the Chinese domestic equities to recover from here.
Rajiv, always a pleasure to have the chance to speak with you about what you're observing in markets and to benefit from your insights. Rajiv DeMello, Global Macro Portfolio Manager at Gamma Asset Management, joining from Singapore here on Daybreak Asia.